Dear listeners, Sai Ram, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we go on to learn a very beautiful bhajan. This is on Lord Krishna, but this is a very beautiful emotional prayer to the Lord. In the course of this bhajan classroom, you will also hear a conversation with Brother Amey Deshpande as we discuss about the bhava aspect of this bhajan. But before that, let's get on with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala. So here is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Shama murari ayore.
So this is what we will learn. Now let's get familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan.
Shama murari ayore. Sai murari ayore. Shama murari ayore. Gayore guna gayore. Payore pitambara dhari.
Now that we know the lyrics, Brother Ashwath and Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration of how this bhajan flows.
We are singing this bhajan in the scale F sharp pancham.
Shama murari ayore. Shama murari ayore. Shama murari ayore. Shama murari. Ayore Sai Murari Ayore Sai Murari Ayore Sai Murari Ayore Sai Murari Ayore Shama Murari Ayore Shama Murari Ayore
Gayore Guna Gayore
Gayore Guna Gayore
Gayore Guna Gayore
Gayore Guna Gayore Pitambaradhari Shama Murari Ayore.
So that is the tune of this beautiful bhajan, where we call out to the Lord and, you know, we pray to the Lord to come in our midst. But from then on, you know, it's not just an Ao Bhajan, it's a Gao Bhajan, it's a Payo Bhajan. So it's really very beautiful expressions conveyed through lyrics, and the tune is such that, you know, it just lingers on in your mind. A lovely bhajan that used to be sung in the yesteryears. Thanks to Brother Ashwath for bringing it back to our consciousness. So Brother Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the technical makeup of this bhajan?
Sai Ram Vishu.
Sai Ram.
This wonderful tune is composed
with a mix of two ragas, mainly the Maya Malava Gaula, or Bhairav, we call it in the Hindustani classical music.
Sa re
Komal re
Ga
Shuddha Ga
Ma Pa Dha
Komal Dha
Ni Sa Re Da Pa Ma Ga Re Sa.
So if it is Shuddhani, it becomes Maya Malava Gaula. When the Ni is changed from Shuddha to Komal,
Ni
that becomes one more raga called Vakula Bharanam or Basant Mukhari in the Hindustani classical music. Many times bhajans are a mix of both because it just differed by one knee. So the composer is free to go to the knee, go to that path and just take the knee and then come back to either of the ragas as the main, like Maya Malava Gaula or the Vakula Bharanam. So the very first line has the Shuddhani.
Shama Murari
which is very similar to the feeling in which we start the bhajan.
Sai Baba Gita Sudha Madhuram Madhuram Anandam.
The whole bhajan is actually filled with emotion of pining to have darshan of the Lord, and moreover it also has Gaure Guna Gaure, which is a rare occurrence in any other bhajan, and Payore Pitambaradhari. It's the very well rhymed lyrics.
Yes.
At the same time, the tune is so, so powerful. And it makes you cry for the Lord, at least give a feeling that you pine for Him. So the tune is so justifying to the lyrics of the bhajan also, especially in the last line. The more of plead is there in the tune.
Pitambaradhari Payore Pitambaradhari Shama Murari Ayore Sai Murari Ayore.
You can just imagine Mother Meera singing this bhajan and, you know, walking on the streets in the morning. One more day has passed and she's not had the vision of Hare Krishna. And she's just asking, please come. And she's telling everyone that do this, sing this.
And you sing His glory.
Sing His glory. And you will get the Pitambaradhari. You will get this Giridhari. He will come. Continue to sing. I think it's that's something so beautiful in this bhajan. Even as you pine, you're asking everyone to join in this sadhana.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful. Okay, so let's come back to the technicalities.
Yes, so in order to sing this bhajan with lot of feeling and with the bhava, first let's know that each line, what swaras, we have to stand in those lines, and it will really help in singing the tune of this bhajan in a proper way. So the first line,
Shama Murari Ayore Sarigama Gare Sa Re Ni Sa
Sarigama Gare Sa Re Ni Sa
Sai Murari Ayore Sari Mama Mama Sari Gare Sa
Sari Mama Mama Gama Gare Sari Gare Sa
sa, re ni sa.
Sa re ga ma ga re sa, re ni sa.
Gayo re, gun gayo re, sa sa da 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 pa da pa ma ga ma pa ma ga re sa.
Sa da 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 pa da pa ma ga ma pa ma ga re sa.
Pa yo re pitambar dhari, pa da pa ma ma ga pa ma ga re ga re sa.
Pa da pa ma ma ga pa ma ga re ga re sa.
And coming to the similar bhajans, you have
Shankh Chakra Pitambar Dhari Karuna Sagar Krishna Murari Murali Manohar Natavar Lala.
Yet another vintage bhajan.
Yes.
Sai Baba.
As I mentioned before,
Garuda Vahana Narayana.
So all these bhajans have a mix of both the knees and having this similar flavor.
Yes. All very powerful bhajans.
Yes, very powerful.
Wonderful. So let's do the beat.
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. Aditalam in the classical music, Kaherva in the Hindustani. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1.
Shyam Murari Ayo Re,
Shyam Murari Ayo Re,
Sai Murari Ayo Re,
Sai Murari Ayo Re,
Shyam Murari.
Really a very lovely addition to our bhajan repertoire. Thank you so much, Arvind Sai and Anirudh.
Thank you,
Bishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So with the raga, the beat, the lyrics and the tune done, let's now move on to the aspect of what this bhajan could convey to us. How could we relate to this bhajan? Over a conversation, Brother Amay Deshpande shares his insights on this bhajan. Sai Ram, Brother Amay, and welcome to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, brother, happy to be here.
How does it feel when you hear these vintage bhajans? You know, we have started this series wherein we want to bring it back into our consciousness, those bhajans which used to be sung in the 60s and 70s. You know, these bhajans have a charm of their own, and many
Absolutely.
Times I feel that these are bhajans which Bhagwan has physically heard any number of times. And, you know, it's so much joy to bring it back in today's times into that universe of bhajan enthusiasts. How does it feel when you listen to these bhajan?
Actually, it takes you back, in fact, to the old darshan days, you know, the sand darshans. So almost in all the mandirs, which eventually became concrete and then marble or granite, all of them were initially all sand darshan. So whether it was Brindavan or Prashanthi Nilayam or Sundaram or Dharmakshetra. So it has a very distinctive feel of that cool breeze or, you know, the trees moving and the crows, you know, crowing, you know, and, so from 2005 onwards, I think, and because, you know, high definition videos and high definition photographs started coming, most of our, you know, the sight that we have of Swami, is the one seated on the wheelchair. But, in fact, the most dynamic Swami, if I can put it that way, was the Swami that would walk on these sands and, you know, whose robe would flow well beyond the legs, beyond the feet. And most of the times we couldn't even make out what was happening behind that robe, you know, in the sense, whether the feet were gliding or they were moving or, you know. So, yeah, it's that kind of memory that comes back. When we think about, you know, when
these bhajans in those days also, I remember even when I joined, there were no mics in the mornings, you know. But, you know, those bhajans had a charm of their own. And especially some of the voices at that point in time, they didn't need mics.
Yeah, we used to call them gunthroat voices.
Somebody like Mr. Raja Reddy, Mr. Mohan Rao, Eradi sir.
Yes.
So anyway, so the bhajan we have for today, you know, Shama Murari Ayore. Well, I think this bhajan, just like many other vintage bhajans, again is simple in the sense that, you know, it is just namavalis. But this one has a little bit of Hindi and a little bit of, you know, you're trying to tell a story or something of that nature. But otherwise, generally, most of the vintage bhajans are just pure namavalis. It is Rama,
true,
Krishna,
yes,
Govinda, Gopala. Yeah, but somehow, this is a little different bhajan in that sense. Later on, you had a lot of bhajans with Hindi and, you know, bhajans which were like prayer to God, you know, come do this. But this bhajan, for some reason, you know, is from those times, and which means Swami definitely loved to hear.
Yes.
You know, it has something special of its own, you know, that, you know, Swami gave this bhajan the chance to be offered at his lotus feet. So that is something very beautiful. So I thought maybe, you know, let us go back in time and see, you know, what was it that possibly people were trying to communicate when they were singing this bhajan. So when you listen to this bhajan now and when you put yourself in their shoes and sing this bhajan, you know, what is it that fills your heart and mind?
So this particular bhajan is in a very beautiful raga, which to me, whenever I hear any bhajans in this raga, like Ahir Bhairav or Chakrava, it has this meditative feel to the whole bhajan. Because the notes itself are, for example, Nataraja he Tripurai. Or you take a bhajan like, I think this bhajan would be somewhere like Bhairav and Chakravak both coming together. So it has a lot of meditative and early morning feel to it. So the moment I heard this bhajan or I hear this bhajan, the feeling of an early morning, you know, that kind of time zone comes. And definitely Brindavan or the old Prashanthi Nilayam, which was open to the skies.
Yes.
And Swami coming out for darshan and all of us are waiting for darshan. And so that's the feeling that I get when I hear this bhajan, that having waited for an hour and a half, and then suddenly, you know, the Lord is now coming out. Yes. So the heart kind of calls out, Shama Murari. Ayo, finally he has come. Kind of, you know, feeling. So, and this Ayo Re is also not normal Hindi. You know, it has the dialect of it is more that UP and Bihar kind of.
Brajbhasha
kind of, yeah. So that is why my mind kind of went back to Brindavan. And not only our Brindavan.
The Brindavan of Shri Krishna.
Yes, the Shri Krishna's Brindavan. And the thought that came to me was the bhajan kind of is not a very fast bhajan. Yeah. So it's definitely not celebration that Krishna has come. For example, something like, Nandalala. Yes. That is a more celebratory bhajan. Yes. But this is more, you know, kind of a contemplative and Shama Murari Ayore. I think it's in Maya Gola. Maya Malava Gola. So it is more to do with that, you know, that that appeal of a old person, not a young Gopika. Mm-hmm. So as I was thinking of, you know, who can kind of fit, who fits into that mold. And I remembered that, you know, the aunties who used to sing in Vrindavan, whenever Swami would come, they were all of in that mold, you know. They were all in that Mirabai kind of mold. extremely chaste. You know, in Ishwaramba Sutta Shriman in our Suprabhatam, there is, you know, this the last stanza which is Sita Sati Sama Vishuddha. Ridam Bujata. That is the feeling that you get when you see, when you think of those aunties, whether it was Prabha auntie or even the ones in Prashanthi Nilayam. I remember, you know, somehow they had that charm of that chastity. That was always there. They were serious sadhaks who had given up everything for Swami. And I know of many of these aunties in Bangalore who used to live in the city, but would come to Vrindavan. You know, when Swami comes to Vrindavan, their day would start at 2 o'clock in the morning because they would wake up, finish their ablutions, cook for the whole day, you know, for the entire family, and then leave home by something like 3:34, so that by 6 o'clock they can be in Vrindavan, changing 3 buses, you know, coming to Vrindavan, so being in time for Swami to arrive, and then sing bhajans for him. So that's the kind of, they didn't give up their responsibilities at home. At the same time, they were supremely devoted to Swami. So that is the kind of feeling. And so when I was thinking of all of this, The story that came to my mind was the famous story of when Krishna came to Mathura. So, you know, when Lord Krishna was invited to Mathura by Kamsa to fight the Mushtika and Chanur, and then eventually finished off Kamsa. It is said that when the two lads, young lads, you know, they entered Mathura, and the entire Mathura went berserk. You know, the entire Mathura was kind of just lifted in consciousness because of these two extremely divine beings coming into this otherwise poisonous city that was once upon a time a great city, but had been completely demolished by Kamsa. When these two entered, they say that the entire Mathura, it was like the description in Bhagavatam is like, on parched lands, on parched desert lands, when rain falls, the way the sand
absorbs
the entire water, and you'll see you know, the sand bubbling. That is the kind of feeling it seems when Krishna and Balarama entered into Mathura. That felt like that, you know, the thirsty city had got a downpour of divine grace. And it was just during that little time, they say, between, you know, his entry into Mathura and he going to, you know, the Malla Yuddha, which is the wrestling grounds, where he touched hundreds of lives. There were miracles galore at that time. And one of the beautiful miracles that are recounted in Bhagavatam is that of Trivakra or Kubja, the one who was bent in three places. That's why her name was Trivakra. Apparently she was bent in her neck, in her spine, and in her knees. And you know, she was almost deformed from her birth. And though she was a young lady, she always looked old because she was a hunchback, you know. And it is said that she was carrying garlands for the royal palace. And and then she sees Krishna and she immediately knows that, you know, I have to put one garland around his neck. And so she approaches Krishna, and Krishna is standing, you know, tall. And she says, I want to put this garland around you. And Krishna says, yeah, if you want to do it. Then he says, but I can't, you know, I'm not able to stand erect. Can you please bend down so that I can put? This is the only thing that I can offer to you. And Krishna says, no, if you want to do it, then you better straighten yourself. I'm not going to bend down. And she says, Lord, please, you know how many years, how many janmas possibly I've been waiting for this opportunity. Don't give me this excuse that you're not ready to bend in front of me. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to bend in front of you. You have to stand erect. And it is said that as, you know, that that pang of separation and that intensity to want of wanting to garland the Lord straightened her, and in a trice all her three bends had been straightened, and she was no more Kubja. She went back to her original name, which was Malini. So that's the beautiful story that comes to mind. And so I was thinking that imagine each one of us in many ways have these, not just Trivakra, we have Ashtavakra probably, Shatavakra and Sahasravakras. You know, we are bent in several places in our thought, word and our deed. We are all the time crooked, you know, in the way we think. And when the Lord comes and enters into our life, just like Lord Krishna into the past desert lands, okay, and we understand that, yes, this is the moment I've been waiting for. Okay, and we want those bends to be unfolded and to be straightened in our
automatically
life.
It happens.
Yes, and for that, before that automatic thing happens, it is we wanting to go to the Lord.
Yes.
The Lord coming to us. So we take one step towards Him, He takes 100 towards us. And then it's that last bit where the ego comes in between.
Yes.
Can I do it or can I not do it?
Yes.
Okay, and the Lord says, come on, break that shackles.
Yes.
Okay, I have come for this very sake. Wake up, arise, you know, Jagrata. Wake up now and arise to your original state. Okay, and in that moment of intensity, okay, as we go to garland the Lord, okay, all our knots are, you know,
take
straightened
that, strong leap of faith.
Yes, yes. And so, for a moment, let us all become Trivakras or Kubjas. And let us feel that, you know, this, our thought, word and deed until now, which were all the time twisted and crooked, now suddenly we find Shama Murari Ayore. And just like Shama Murari, Sai Murari Ayore, Shama Murari Ayore. And then when you see the Lord like this, okay, you want to do something for Him, you want to decorate Him, you want to anoint Him, you want to ornate Him, right? So how do you do that? Right, we don't have garlands, but we have our words with which we can, you know, we can sing His glory. Gayo re gun gayo re, gayo re gun gayo re. And then finally, when we are able to garland Him with our, you know, with our praises and our adoration, then what happens? Payo re Pitambar Dhari. We will finally, you know, get Him. So that is the little thought that I had when I was contemplating on this bhajan.
Beautiful. In fact, you know, when this bhajan fell in onto my ears, the stream of thought that I got swayed into was Bhagwan leaving His mortal coil, you know, Bhagwan has left the mortal coil, and you know, you're so sad, you know, your whole world has collapsed, and every day you are going to the mandir, you're not seeing Him, you know, every day, you know, what happened to those bhajan sessions, what happened to that smile, what happened to the time when He used to say, okay, now start the next bhajan, or okay, now do the aarti, what happened to those moments when He used to suddenly call someone and, you know, suddenly bless, what happened to that Krishna, you know, every day He used to play with us, just, even if He was not walking, just through His eyes He used to play with us, He used to dance with us, you know, so what happened to that? What happened to that? I mean, you're pining and pining and pining. And then, you know, so one day He gives you a vision. You know, as Swami says, if your intensity is that high, I will recreate that experience for you.
Correct.
So one day you see suddenly, you know, you wake up perhaps with a very beautiful, say, dream or a vision where, you know, you can see Swami is so alive. He's so alive. And you know, you're like, you're saying, you know what, this is what has happened.
Shyam Murari Ayuri.
He came here. He really came. And you know what? This same Swami, he's that Natkat Krishna. He's my Swami, you know.
Sai Murari Ayuri.
So it is that same Swami who has come. And then I feel, okay, how do I preserve this feeling, you know? How is it that I can always have him? It's not that one day only I have this feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, and then sing the praises. Gayore. That's what Swami is telling, you know. You sing my praises. Then I will always be there. Then you will have me forever.
Payore.
That's what Swami is telling, that
right.
That vision is there and you will get me. I'm all the time there, but follow my message. What is my message? Sing my glory. You know, you be with me, I will be with you all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what, you know,
Pitambara Dhari, in fact, is a very beautiful, because I think other than Swami and Krishna, no other God is referred to as Pitambara Dhari.
Mm.
You know, and that's the beauty of the connection between, so for example, even in Kalyana Krishna, Kamaniya yeah. Krishna, the last line is, it has this,
Vrindavan ki tulasi mala, Pitambara Dhari Murari.
So that Pitambara Dhari, it is that color that Swami used to wear.
Yes.
Between orange and yellow.
Yes.
And so that is a very distinct, only for, nobody else is called Pitambara Dhari, possibly Narayana, but otherwise you have someone like Ganesha, who is Shuklambara Dhari, right? And then I think Rama would be, there is no direct mention of what he used to wear.
Mm.
But here, you know, we have the form in front of us. We have what he used to wear in front of us.
Mm.
And so
of course, and you see, Swami used to wear Pitambar on special occasions.
Correct.
You know, on a Ugadi day, suddenly you'll see Swami coming in that robe,
yes.
or on a birthday, or, you know, you'll find. So it is like you do this prayer.
And you'll get
that special darshan only for you. And he will come in that special way for you. I mean, well, I think that is the beauty of every bhajan, isn't it? You know, you just think about it, and each person will have his own very beautiful way of connecting, recharging,
yeah.
and, you know, being one with Swami. And I think this is... what is the speciality of Sai Bhajans, isn't it? I mean, that is what Sai Bhajans should do to each one of us.
Right. I think it's a beautiful combination of name and form, right? So every name has a form associated with it, and every form has a name associated with it. And I think that's the beautiful, that's the beauty of the Sakara Bhakti, which is, or Saguna Bhakti, which is very different from having a Nirguna Bhakti.
Yes.
Right. And that is why it is very necessary. I think it's probably the first step that happens in the path towards God, right? And so oftentimes, you know, in philosophy, when we think of three philosophies being distinct, Advaita, Vishishtadvaita and Advaita, it was Swami who possibly for the first time told us that it starts with Dvaita Bhakti, then you move to Vishishtadvaita Bhakti, and then eventually you understand Advaita Bhakti, which is for the first time he actually put put a causal or a step-by-step process. They are not three different philosophies.
Yes.
They are one philosophy which comes in three different moments in a devotee's life.
Mm.
And so in the Dvaita Bhakti, one needs to fill ourselves with, you know, Shravanam, Mananam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Mandanam, all of those Navavida Bhakti.
Yes.
Right? So any one of these rasas in the Navavida Bhakti, for example, the way you were telling, of the Natkat Krishna, comes more like a Sakhya Bhakti, one of friendship towards the Lord, that Ayore, Shyamamurari, probably what I was thinking was more from a Vandana Bhakti or Archana, to do
worship. Garland the Lord.
Garland the Lord. Mm. So the same bhajan can be possibly looked at in the Navavida Bhakti forms.
Yeah.
Some people would just do Shravanam.
Yeah.
It starts with, of course, Shravanam.
Yes. For some, it will just be Atma Nivedanam.
Correct. Yeah. So there are a lot of bhajans which actually put us into that Atma Nivedanam mode. For example, Sai Om, Sai Om, Sai Om. Nothing else is there.
Yeah.
Tan Mana Pranam Sai Om.
So yes. that kind of bhajan is like Shayana Sapaname, yes. Gagana Pavaname, Nayana Nayaname, everywhere there's only Advaita. Yes. So here is a bhajan which gives you a classic this thing of Advaitic kind of bhajan.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I think that's a very beautiful exercise also for all of us, you know, who love listening to Sai Bhajans and who love to have Sai Bhajans in our every breath. I think there are a lot of people like that, you know.
Absolutely.
If there is a moment of not active work in the brain, then there is a bhajan always going on.
It's like the screensaver.
Yeah, it's a screensaver. And perhaps one beautiful way of doing this Shravana Mananam is, as you know, take every bhajan and see how we can
categorize
use that bhajan through all these nine paths of devotion.
Correct.
That's a very, very
because in fact the bhajan, Sai bhajans itself, if you look at the first three Navavidha Bhakti, in the Navavidha Bhakti is Shravanam, Kirtanam and Vishnu Smaranam, which are directly associated with Sai bhajans or with any kind of bhajans. So, and they are actually in that process, you know, Shravanam, first hearing, then Kirtanam, which is singing, and then Smaranam, which is contemplation. So the bhajan has to have these three elements of first listening, then singing. So it's not just listening. You know, it's like, and in fact, this beautiful Navavidha Bhakti was given by Prahlada to Hiranyakashipu when he comes back from school. When Hiranyakashipu asks him, okay, so Prahlada, what is it that you have learned? So he says, Shravanam, you know, Kirtanam. So this is one of the greatest devotees of the Lord who's telling us that it starts with listening. You have to listen. And that's what Prahlada did in the womb of the mother when he was listening to Narada talking about Narayana. And then it gets converted. When he came out of the womb, it became Kirtanam, because all the time he would do Narayana Mantram, Sriman Narayana Bhajanam. And then it does not end there also. Right? Only listening and singing is not enough. Smaranam is required, which is contemplation on the right. So these three, I think, are very powerful.
Powerful, yeah. I think every bhajan gives us ample opportunity to
do these three.
To do this. I mean, just today I was reading that if you take both the ears, you know, somebody had forwarded this, very interesting. You take both the ears and place it next to each other, they actually take the shape of a heart. So they said even in the word heart, in
this
ear. Ear is there. So everything, you know, to lead a life, which is filled with heart, it all starts with listening. You know, whether it is a normal conversation or, you know, whether it is on the spiritual path, it's all starts with listening.
But possibly listening first to, you know, to good things.
Good things.
And then to eventually move towards.
Yeah, make that good a part
of you. So that, again, a very beautiful cause-effect thing that Swami tells us, the, you know, how to, what are the steps to take up in spiritual life. Swami often used to say, Tyaja Durjana Samsargam, Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam, Kuru Punya Mahuratram, Smaranityanityatam. Right? So these are very beautiful. First, let go of the bad. Tyaja Durjana Samsargam. Second, Bhaja Sadhu Samagam. Think of, be always in the company of good. Then Kuru Punya Mahuratram, do something. Okay, do Kuru, you know. And then, eventually the last part is what we often don't give too much importance, but which is possibly the most important, which is Smaranityanityatam. What is permanent? What is impermanent? Keep contemplating on that. Do Smaranam on that. And I think Sai Bhajans is all the time taking our mind towards what is permanent, what is impermanent. What is permanent, what is impermanent. The Lord is permanent in our lives. Everything else is impermanent.
And every bhajan session is
reminder.
Reminder towards that, you know. I think if we, so every bhajan session is a journey for
us
from Dvaitam to Vishishtadvaitam to Advaitam.
Yes, also a journey just now, you know, this. So I often see, when I see a lot of youth coming for Sai Bhajans, I think it's such a beautiful thing, you know, to see youngsters who otherwise on a Sunday evening could have done 100 other things. For example, when I think of a 31st December Akhanda Bhajan, and I see a lot of youth there, and I see, you know, people saying that, hey, I'm going for this bhajan. So the first thing they did was Tyaja Durjana Samsargam. On 31st December, I could have been partying, okay, and whiling away my time. But what I ran away from there, and I did Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam. I came to that Sadhu Samagamam, right? And then when you do a night-long bhajan, it is Kuru Punya Mahoratram. You do Ahuratram, you do. Okay. Hopefully at some point of time you will do the Smara Nitya Nityata also.
Yeah. Wow. Automatically it becomes part of you eventually. You pretend to be good, you tend to be good, and you end up being good.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother, for this lovely satsang. And I hope that this inspires all of us to do this satsang continuously in our own lives all the time as we listen to Sai Bhajans. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So that was Brother Amey Deshpande, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning and a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, sharing his thoughts on the bhava aspect of this bhajan. With that, we move on to the last segment of this program. You will now hear to the Mandir version of this bhajan, the students of Bhagwan's University offering this bhajan at his lotus feet during a live Mandir Bhajan session. Queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at his lotus feet.